Welcome to Menachem Begin, His Life, Legacy, and Uniquely Jewish Statesmanship, a limited series podcast brought to you by Tikva and MeirSoloveitchik.com. This special series is sponsored by the Hart N. and Simona Haston Family Foundation in partnership with the Menachem Begin Heritage Center in Jerusalem. The episodes in this study of Prime Minister Begin's remarkable leadership are drawn from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comprehensive, year-long podcast on the history of the most interesting city in the world, Jerusalem 365. Jerusalem 365 is available at MeirSoloveitchik.com. And now, on to Begin. This is episode number 11, Between Oslo and Jerusalem.
We have mentioned in our Bible 365 studies how the meaning of the biblical conception of peace, of shalom, is fundamentally different from the concept of peace as it emerged within the Roman world. As the historian Martin Goodman has noted, only the Bible envisioned an era in which war truly came to an end, when swords were beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Goodman writes, quote, "This notion of peace, shalom, and an end to war espoused by Isaiah was quite different from the Roman notion of pax, which constituted little more than a pause to take stock between victorious and glorious campaigns." End quote. That is why Rome saw nothing strange in celebrating its brutal conquest of Jerusalem by placing the temple's treasures in an edifice that they called the Temple of Peace. War, for them, was the object. War was inevitable. The temple dedicated to pax would allow them to celebrate their victories and rest so that more victories in war could follow. For Jews, the opposite is true. War may be very important at times. It may at times be essential, but it is never to be celebrated as an end in itself. And to my knowledge, the most eloquent expression of this Judaic worldview was Menachem Begin's 1978 speech in Oslo when he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The speech began in Menachem Begin's usual classy way. Right before Begin left for Oslo, and right before her own passing, Golda Meir, as I mentioned yesterday, had caustically remarked something to the effect that Menachem Begin deserved an Oscar rather than a Peace Prize, which meant that, in her view, he was acting and was not actually dedicated to peace. By the time Begin arrived in Norway, Meir had passed away, and Begin, gentleman as he always was, began by celebrating his predecessor, saying at the start, quote, "I ask for permission first to pay tribute to Golda Meir, my predecessor, a great leader and prime minister, who strove with all her heart to achieve peace between Israel and her neighbors. Her blessed memory will live forever in the hearts of the Jewish people and of all peace-loving nations." So Begin said. Begin then addressed the virtue for which he was being awarded, peace. He argued that it was the Jews that truly gave the world the very notion of shalom. He said, quote, "The ancient Jewish people gave the world the vision of eternal peace, of universal disarmament, of abolishing the teaching and learning of war. Two prophets, Yeshayahu ben Amoz and Micha Morashti, having foreseen the spiritual unity of man under God, with his word coming forth from Jerusalem, gave the nations of the world the following vision expressed in identical terms, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." This is what Begin said, thereby simultaneously describing what the world received from Jewish tradition, as well as reminding the world how far back the Jewish connection to Jerusalem goes. Begin then added his own small reflection on peace, saying, quote, "Despite the tragedies and disappointments of the past, we must never forsake that vision, that human dream, that unshakable faith. Peace is the beauty of life. It is sunshine. It is the smile of a child, the love of a mother, the joy of a father, the togetherness of a family. It is the advancement of man, the victory of a just cause, the triumph of truth. Peace is all of these and more and more." So Begin said, and he of course understood that those assembled in the auditorium, those watching around the world, did not necessarily see him as a man of peace, but as a fighter. He therefore reminded all those watching him of the fact that he, who had just said that peace is the smile of a child, the love of a mother, the joy of a father, the togetherness of a family, he who said that Menachem Begin had had his own family destroyed, his father and mother murdered, and that the world did not seek to stop it, and that this had taught him that evil had to be fought, and that the fighting of evil is itself a foundation of peace. Begin said in part, quote, "But in my generation, ladies and gentlemen, there was a time indescribable. 6 million Jews, men, women, and children, a number larger than many a nation in Europe, were dragged to a wanton death and slaughtered methodically in the heart of the civilized continent. And he added, other than a few famous and forgettable exceptions, they were left alone to face the destroyer. At such a time, unheard of since the first generation, the hour struck to rise and fight for the dignity of man, for survival, for liberty, for every value of the human image a man has been endowed with by his Creator, for every known inalienable right he stands for and lives for. Indeed, there are days when to fight for a cause so absolutely just is the highest command. Norway has known such days, and so have we. Only in honoring that command comes the regeneration of the concept of peace. Let it, however, be declared and known, stressed and noted, that fighters for freedom hate war. So Begin said, war is at times necessary, but it is never celebrated as an end in itself. Peace, for the truly Judaically inspired leader, is, Begin was saying, an aspiration. In this single speech, Menachem Begin made the case that there was no contradiction between fighting on behalf of one's people and making peace. The man that was celebrated at Oslo for making peace took pains to remind the world that at a terrible time of war, all too few cared about his own people, and moreover, that his own passion for his people's safety went hand in hand with his desire for peace.
The Menachem Begin Heritage Center is the national commemoration project honoring and preserving the legacy of Israel's sixth prime minister. The Begin Center houses a library, archives, research center, educational department, and a full museum. Its mission is to pass on to the next generation the principles of Menachem Begin's values-driven leadership and to provide a space to explore what that means in today's complicated world. Visit the Begin Center in the heart of Jerusalem to experience the life and times of Menachem Begin.
Begin also reminded the audience in his speech that the embrace of peace as a universal value could never allow for the forgetting of what one owed one's own, and that the seeking of peace does not mean giving up on the rights and dreams of one's own people, especially when one's own people had been denied peace and their own rights for so long. Begin made this clear in another fascinating passage of his address. He said, quote, "Now it is I who must express gratitude from the bottom of my heart for the great honor you do me. But ladies and gentlemen, before doing so, permit me to remind us all that today is an important anniversary, the 30th anniversary of the adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Let us always remember the magnificently written words of its first article. It expresses the essence of all the declarations of the rights of man and citizen written throughout history. It says, all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. Free men and women everywhere, Begin continued, must wage an incessant campaign so that these human values become a generally recognized and practiced reality. We must regretfully admit that in various parts of the world, this is not yet the case. Without those values and human rights, the real peace of which we dream is jeopardized. So Begin said, and then he went on, describing one group of people whose rights were still being profoundly assaulted. He said, quote, for reasons self-understood, but which every man and woman of goodwill will accept, I must remind my honored listeners of my brethren and the prisoners who are deprived of one of their most basic rights, to go home. I speak about people of great courage who deserve not only the respect, but also the moral support of the free world. I speak about people who, even from the depths of their suffering, repeat the age-old prayer, L'shana haba'a b'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. The preservation and protection of human rights are indispensable to give peace of nations and individuals its real meaning, end quote. In this elegant and eloquent passage, Begin remembered his own fellow Jews behind the Iron Curtain, his fellow Jews in crisis, and he reminded all assembled how important Jerusalem was to Jews everywhere. He knew how close the peace accords came to coming apart over the issue of Jerusalem, and he communicated to the world that the connection between Jews and Jerusalem was both an emotional fact in the present, but also a rite reflected in what he called the age-old prayer, next year in Jerusalem. All these themes, the necessity at times of waging war and the constant Jewish desire for peace, the obligation that Begin the peacemaker felt that he owed his people, and his readiness to defend the state of Israel while embracing genuine peace, all this came together in the speech's remarkable conclusion. Begin said, quote, allow me now to turn to you, Madam President of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, and to all its members and say, thank you. I thank you for the great distinction. It does not, however, belong to me. It belongs to my people, the ancient people and Renaissance nation that came back in love and devotion to the land of its ancestors after centuries of homelessness and persecution. This prestigious recognition is due to this people because they suffered so much, because they lost so many, because they love peace and want it with all their hearts for themselves and for their neighbors. On their behalf, I humbly accept the award, and in their name, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And may I express to His Majesty the King our deep gratitude for the gracious hospitality His Majesty on this occasion bestowed upon my wife and myself. Your Majesty, Your Highnesses, members of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, ladies and gentlemen, 77 years ago, the first Nobel Peace Prize was awarded. Jean-Henri Dunant was its recipient. On December 10, 1901, the President of the Norwegian Parliament said, "The Norwegian people have always demanded that their independence be respected. They have always been ready to defend it, but at the same time, they have always had a keen desire and need for peace." May I, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the people of Israel, respectfully subscribe to these true and noble words. Thank you. So Begin said, almost 2,000 years after Rome conquered Jerusalem and placed its treasures in an edifice that they named the Temple of Peace, Menachem Begin stood in Oslo, remembered the dream of Jerusalem throughout the ages, and spoke of the Jewish right in his day to a united Jerusalem. It is a speech that combines Tanakh and politics, Judaism and universalism. It is a speech that deserves to be remembered as one of the great addresses of Jewish history. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.